jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, special edition, double dose of The Athletic this week, Peter Edmondson of The Athletic joins me today. What's going on, man?
Well, it's always nice to be back on the Locked On family. You know, it's awesome, man. You're doing great things with it, and I'm thrilled. So it's always good to be back, man.
I love having you on just because it's such a good time. You obviously are very good at what you do. You guys and Amari are very, very good writers, and I love reading your stuff. So again, before we get started, we're going to be talking about an article that you wrote on The Athletic recently about some guys on the roster, and you kind of broke it up in several different groups of who could be traded, who will very likely be traded, all those type of things. So we've got three segments. You've broken it up into like four groups. The first group I won't really talk about, but more on the lines of
those guys. Yeah.
No, there's really not, but more on the lines of
I just threw those guys in just to be complete. You know what I mean? I was going to rank pretty much everybody on the roster. So I was like, I'll throw them in there. But no, there's no chance that Ja, Jaren, or Brandon Clark would even be there's not even a 0.0001% chance of that.
No, not at all. So we're not gonna talk about that. However, if you have not read the article, you go read it. Pause this and go read it because it's what we're talking about. We're not gonna talk about every single thing because I don't want to give it all away. So definitely go check it out because that's what we're talking about today on the show. If you haven't seen it, go read it. Let's just start right off the bat. You had a couple of guys in terms of not likely. But one of the guys that stood out to me was Kyle Anderson. I had this conversation with Keith Parrish on the show last week that I just don't know if Kyle fits what Taylor wants to do anymore. I don't know. He obviously his minutes are down. Where are you on the – I mean, obviously in the likelihood of him getting traded, but also his fit in this team?
Yeah, I think it is a weird, awkward fit. You know, in the locker room, he's very well-liked. He's an easy guy to get along with. He's a really sharp, nice guy, all that stuff. So that, you know, there's no issue there, but on the court, it's a weird fit for sure. I mean, he was signed by, you know, the previous front office to that 4-year deal. And you know, it was a full mid-level deal at the time. He's got the 15% trade kicker as well to think about. So if he's traded, the Grizzlies have to kick in, I think it'd be about $3.5 million, give or take. That wouldn't be that big of a deal, but it is something that you have to kind of consider, as part of the gig. I don't think it's likely that he's traded, but I do think he'd be better served in a different offense or with a different team. You know, the things that he does very well in terms of ball handling, seeing the floor, passing, you know, running an offense, a lot of times in half court, but also even in transition, the Grizzlies just kind of have guys that are better at that, that are more natural fits than him at that. You'd rather have the ball in John Morant's hands more than Kyle Anderson's hands. And the fact that he is so slow and unable to shoot consistently, even standstill, you know, catch and shoot jumpers, it's really hard to use him. It's really hard to do something with him within the framework of this offense. You know, he ends up getting good shots, but they're not really good shots for him because he can't make them. Or he drives in, he has that weird Euro step, those awkward little Kyle shots that go in. But that's not really the gist of what the Grizzlies want to do. I think I termed him a minivan in a garage full of sports cars. You know, he kind of does a lot of stuff, but it's not, you know, there's a time in your family when you go to the minivan. Right now, the Grizzlies are in that time when you're in your 20s and you want to get that sports car and you want to get there and go a little bit. You're not ready for the minivan yet. So yeah, if they could find somebody to sell that minivan to, great. I don't know that anyone's buying.
So you think it's more of there's not really a market for Kyle Anderson versus they don't, you know, they might want to get rid of him, but there's not really a market for him. Is that where you landed?
It's hard to say. I think it's hard to say. I think there's certainly some systems, you know, depending on who you're looking at that might be better for Kyle. But, you know, with the fact that he's got about $20 million left on his deal, you know, I don't know that there's just a huge market for that. That contract is not, it's not terrible, but it's not great either. And it's not as if he's putting on a great show, and putting up numbers that are like, wow, you got to go get this guy. And he's still, you know, dealing with that shoulder thing that kept him out a lot of last year. Had surgery over the summer. He's doing okay, but even he said he's not really fully healthy yet. So that's another problem. I can't see him moved. I put him in that tier just because it's like, you know, it's unlikely. But if somehow, you know, some team needed to throw him in, or if there was some discussion around him for whatever reason, I think it'd be, you know, the Grizzlies would not have any problem with that at all.
The other guy in this tier that you put in there, and I'm with you on the not likely, was Grayson Allen. I probably look and see that they wanted to see what they have in Grayson Allen still a little longer, but it's a guy that if people started asking about or needed him in that deal to complete a deal, it wouldn't shock me if they put him in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot like what happened with Utah last year in the Conley deal. I mean, you know, they kind of didn't necessarily want to get rid of Grayson Allen. He was a rookie. He had a pretty rough year, but it sort of turned it around a little bit towards the end, and coaching staff liked him, but the Grizzlies wanted to include him to kind of wrap up the Conley deal, and they said, okay. I think it's kind of the same thing here. You know, he's still got, you know, 2 years left on his deal, so it's not as if the Grizzlies are just itching to get rid of him. He has blown hot and cold, but he's shown enough. You know, he was pretty good. I don't know that there were, you know, too many bright spots over the last couple games, but he's been okay. He's been getting better. So I think the Grizzlies would be fine keeping him around to see what comes of him. But yeah, if there's like a deal, I don't know, let's say you've got, you know, some kind of crazy deal on the table, and the stumbling block is, you know, putting Grayson Allen in there, I think the Grizzlies would have no problem actually doing that. I don't think they're going out and seeking to move him, but I don't think he's established himself to the point where you absolutely have to keep him.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I would be, in terms of, I would like to keep him just because I think I'd like to see what he can do. But again, like you mentioned, if there is a deal that they got to have Grayson Allen, I don't think they're going to hold back and be like, okay, you definitely can't. He's not one of those guys where you definitely can't have him for sure. I mean, everybody obviously is available for the right price beyond, you know, four or five guys usually on teams. So it's not a situation where they're going to hold back Grayson Allen for sure. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come right back. We're going to talk about some guys we think will definitely most likely have a chance of being moved before the trade deadline. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your shortlist of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job post so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make their hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/lockedon and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/lockedon. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020. Welcome back to the show, talking with Peter Edmondson of The Athletic. Again, we're talking about an article that Peter wrote not that long ago, just a few days ago, about, was it yesterday or was it, I don't know now, but either way, it's out there, yeah, on The Athletic.
I don't either.
The days all run together when you have three kids and you just try to make it to bedtime every night. That's where my life is. But either way, we're talking about an article that Peter wrote, so go read it if you haven't already. Some guys we think that will definitely be moved, some guys that have been in conversations on this show, on every show, probably the better part of the past month. Let's start with Josh Jackson, just because it's a guy that we haven't even really seen. And I heard someone, I can't remember what show I was listening to, maybe Chris Harrington said this. I'm not sure who said it, if they who it was, but the idea of keeping Josh Jackson in the league, in the G League, to keep his value high. Like if you brought him up, his value would plummet. I'm not a guy who believes in, you know, stashing people, or, you know, guys trade value can skyrocket or stay the same. I think people are largely know what players are, and that just what, you know, they're going to trade for who they think that is. But Josh Jackson, a guy that is in the G League, hasn't come up, and I don't think we'll ever play a minute for this team. I'm probably sure you think the same thing. Where do you think he will, what do you think happens with Josh Jackson over the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I wrote that same thing with regard to Josh. I think that's kind of been my running theory for the last few weeks, why they're not bringing him up. It seems to me like, you know, they kept the roster spot open. So clearly he's
right
in their plans to some extent. The question is just, you know, what are those plans exactly? And it seemed increasingly likely that those plans are to try to drum up some trade value for a guy that, you know, can still intrigue you and has been, you know, quite good for the Hustle, doing everything that you would expect a guy that was a fourth overall pick to do when he's in the G League. You know, he's been the most athletic dude on the floor. He's been good off the court, which is really the big thing for him. He had that missed meeting and that suspension, but other than that, you know, I talked to some folks, you know, around the Hustle, just kind of trying to get the lay of what they think, just some folks that are, you know, around the team sometimes, and they've all been said good things about him. Everyone's, you know, said he's been very nice and easy to deal with and all that. So all the off the court stuff has been good with him. So I think it's probably a matter of trying to keep him, I'm not going to say keep him down just for the trade value, but I do think it's easier to sell to a team to say, hey, you know, just think about what this guy could do for you, rather than bringing him up and kind of showing with your group, you know, who knows what kind of a look he's going to get. Is he going to slide right in immediately? Is he going to start, I assume he would start coming off the bench. Is he going to be playing with the best groups? What's he going to be able to do? All those sorts of questions that are fine if the Grizzlies aren't looking to trade him and they're just kind of trying to work him in over a number of weeks. But if you've only got, let's say, you know, 5-10 games to kind of showcase the guy, that might be a little bit tricky to do that in that sort of situation. So it's probably better just to keep him down there and have a team think about, oh, man. You know, I'm going to do another car analogy since I already did the minivan thing. It's the whole idea of, you know, you drive the car off the lot. It's that new car deal. As soon as you drive the car off the lot, you lose a whole bunch of value. You know, right now, Josh is kind of parked on that lot, so to speak. And then you're looking at him and you're like, wow, what would it be like? Maybe with my team, well, he's 6'8", he could do all these things. That'd be really interesting. And as soon as the Grizzlies take him up and start using him, he comes off the lot. And at that point, you kind of really see exactly what he can do. And my guess is that's probably not going to be good for his value unless he just explodes. And that's a risk they're probably not willing to take. If they get to the trade deadline and they don't move him and then they don't bring him up, then clearly they just didn't really, he didn't do what needed to be done, or they didn't really take it seriously as far as him being a part of their future. So, you know, it'll remain to be seen, but I do think the next, you know, we'll find out in the next 2-3 weeks exactly what the deal really was.
Would you rather them trade him, or would you rather him have a chance to see what he can do with this team?
Totally depends on the trade. You know, if they just trade him for peanuts just to make the trade, then I think that'd be ridiculous. I'm not necessarily of the opinion, you know, particularly with Dylan Brooks kind of having emerged to some extent, I'm not of the opinion that it's like absolutely vital that they, you know, use him or find out what they have with him. They really value chemistry a lot, and I think are rightly concerned about what he would do with chemistry. So that is something you have to take into consideration for sure. I think it'd be silly if they didn't trade him and then didn't try him. That would be silly. That would be kind of a waste of resources. But even at the time, Mark, when I talked to folks around the organization, when they made the summer deal to get Jackson and Melton, they were way more excited about Melton.
Right.
Jackson, I'm not going to say Jackson was an afterthought to them, but they were, you know, giddy about Melton and just sort of lukewarm about Jackson.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they clearly, I wouldn't say, like you said, I wouldn't say Jackson was a throwaway, but they paid for D'Anthony Melton. and got Josh Jackson.
No question. Yeah. 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 They love the guy, and you can see why. I mean, he's been phenomenal, in jumping into the mix and just doing a lot of good stuff. And, you know, his contract situation will be very interesting going forward, just like Dylan Brooks.
So, Josh Jackson, you mentioned chemistry. So let's might as well move on to Solomon Hill and Jay Crowder and kind of talk about them both together. And they're similar, not I would say similar players, but they're similar situations in the sense that you could trade them or you could keep them. I've seen a lot of people have the discussion of what do you do with Jay Crowder? Do you keep Jay Crowder? For you, I'll ask you this, and I've asked a lot of people this. Is there a line, because we had this discussion on my show on Monday, is there a line in which you decide to keep Jay Crowder? Like, is it the 50th overall pick for a second rounder? Is there a line for you where you say, you know what, Jay Crowder is better on this team for the long-term benefit of young players than just trading away? And I think people forget about this. I said this yesterday with Joe, cap relief is still an asset. Even if it's not a sexy asset, it's still an asset nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as much of an asset this year, unfortunately, but it is nice to have. It's a really tricky one with Crowder and to a lesser extent with Solomon Hill, because they really are well liked. I talked to Dylan Brooks about it the other day, and he just point blank said, guys would be mad if they were traded. He said that would be a bad thing. The guys always, tend to like the guys in their locker room, but I think it's a situation where you have a young team that's outperformed expectation. And if you kind of were perceived to have cut their legs out from under them to take away the opportunity that they would have to get a playoff berth, that might not go over very well. Now, that's their perception. I don't know if that would be the case or not. I don't know if you could sell it to them differently. All of that is just stuff that you and I would never be able to know for sure, because we're not in those meetings. But if that was the perception, if the team felt like, hey, we were going to make a run at this thing, and then the front office, knocked us out of it by trading away Jay or Solomon or whoever, that's not the way you want to build trust and chemistry. So sometimes it is worth that extra little something. It's worth that extra, refusal of a future asset in order to make sure that the core guys you're building around really believe in you and believe in what you're doing and believe that you have their best interests at heart. Now, what that line is, that's a hard one. It's a case by case basis, man. I mean, any first round pick, he's gone. Like, that's just, for me, he's
right.
Gone for
right.
Sure. Yeah. I don't really care how protected it is. He's gone. A second, there was a construction I heard John Hollinger talking about where something like to Boston, because they really, he had such a good run with them in the playoffs a few years ago, and he's still really highly regarded there by Brad Stevens and by everyone. If it was something like, Semi Ojeleye and Cleveland's second round pick, which is, right up there towards the top, I'd probably have to consider that pretty strongly. The other thing is, the last couple of losses that we've seen, getting tatered pretty good by New Orleans and then smacked around by Boston, maybe that's a little bit of a reality check as to where this team should consider itself rather than in the postseason consideration. I don't know how all that is going to be seen by the locker room in the cold light of reality. So that's going to be the biggest flex point. If the front office thinks that making a move is going to really irritate and put off the stars that they've got, then they will have to be very reluctant to do it. I think for the most part, as long as it's a reasonable deal, I think the guys will eventually understand, even if they're initially irritated. If it's right. Just kind of a get whatever you can get sort of deal, I don't think that's going to go over as well.
Right. But if they bring someone, if for some reason you somehow got what people always, I'm going to throw this name out because people always talk about it. But if you somehow brought back a Malik Beasley and you go, okay, well, maybe this is a better situation, that, winning tends to hit to heal everything. If it helps you win games, I don't think they care as much.
Sure. I mean, that's clearly, going to be part of the consideration as well. If you can get a Malik Beasley, great. I mean, that's a strong return.
That's a pie in the sky type of a deal for these guys.
Right. I mean, if you get something like that, if you can make a deal for a solid young player even if they're not necessarily of Malik Beasley's ilk, but somebody that you take a little bit of a flyer on, then, you know, I think the guys would understand that. I think they're not crazy. I mean, they understand the position that they're in, particularly the veterans. They understand where this team is. And the young players, you know, they're young, so they're not going to, you know, gripe too much about almost anything yet. However, you want to make sure everyone, the biggest thing, Mark, it's like any relationship. It's like, you know, a marriage or like with your kids or at work. It's all about communication. You have to make sure everyone knows where the team is at. The players can't be, the worst thing for them to be is to be surprised and caught right off guard by some move that, you know, they didn't expect. And now all of a sudden, you know, things are totally different than they thought. That's the worst.
If you finding out on Twitter is the worst. Yes,
exactly. If you keep them connected to what your plan is as an organization, maybe they don't know every little detail. Maybe they don't know the specifics of a trade, but that they're not shocked that a trade happened. That's fine. Even if it's a trade that's not the greatest in the world. But if they wake up one day and, you know, they get a Woj bomb, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody that they really cared about is gone for peanuts and they didn't know anything about it, you might have a problem.
Speaking of, I've seen a lot of people say this too. I mean, what are your thoughts on keeping Jay Crowder around next year if he comes back on a smaller deal? Is he a guy that they can turn, in, you know, in terms of a locker room and what Taylor Jenkins said about Jay Crowder and what he does for this team, just as far as, you know, kind of showing them ropes, showing these guys how to win. Are you in favor of returning Jay Crowder if the money is right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be against it. I don't think it would be a long-term deal. You know, maybe 2 years or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. But yeah, I think that would be fine. He has been. Yeah, I give Jay credit because I remember talking to him at media day back in the end of September, and he, you know, I asked him kind of point blank, like, you know, do you want to be here? What do you think about, you know, going from a team that had playoff aspirations to a team that's very much rebuilding? And he said, I am excited. He said, a lot of playoff teams are going to be interested in me, but I really like this organization. I plan on being here. And he's lived up to that word. He has absolutely lived up to it. He's not putting up the best numbers, that's for sure. He's jacking up some terrible shots at times.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, all that stuff is he's not a great on-court player, but he really has helped those guys out a lot. He makes a lot of calls on the court. He's kind of an assistant coach on the court when they're trying to run some of their stuff. He has helped with that offense and just kind of getting that flow together. So I have no problem with bringing him back at a reasonable number. I mean, nothing crazy, but this front office, I have a lot of confidence in their ability to make that decision as to what is a good number on that and what is not. And, you know, I think it wouldn't shock me if he comes back, because I do think he really likes in being in this position on this team.
And lastly, before we get off of Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill, we talked about what the line is of what you would take for those guys. But in reality, is there a market for those type of guys in the landscape of the NBA right now? I think be less inclined about Solomon Hill, but more so Jay Crowder. Is there a market for playoff teams that want those type of guys on their team, where think they can help them in the, you know, kind of run for the championship? You know, that there's a limited amount of teams that you probably view that as, but is there a market for those two guys?
Yeah, I think so. Well, certainly for Crowder. For Hill, you know, I think he could certainly be used to facilitate a bigger deal. You know, the fact that he's got that $12 million or so expiring, that's nice. You know, if you have to make something work financially, I don't know that there's going to be a ton of teams that are going to be beating down his door, but I will say he has certainly improved his perception from a year ago, and certainly improved from what it was in Atlanta. So, you know, he's got something to hang his hat on there for sure. As for Crowder, I can almost see a team trading for Iguodala and Crowder together as a package deal to bolster your 3 and 4 spots. You know, a playoff team like, let's say, the Clippers, who have, you know, kind of had some issues sometimes with wing depth, and have, you know, players in Kawhi and Paul George who can be injury prone. You know, to bring in two guys that have playoff experience and can do those things that you really value in a playoff series. I could see somebody, you know, going after them as a package deal. I could definitely see Crowder at just under $8 million with a pedigree of having played effectively for playoff teams. in the most important position in a playoff series, you know, stopper on the wing. I think his pedigree will help him out more than, you know, because the numbers are pretty ugly right now. So I don't think that's what teams are going to be looking at. I think they'll be looking at, yeah, you know, he's playing. He's much better when he's a, you know, fifth man on a playoff type team laden with talent rather than as a guy who gets a chance to freewheel a little bit and jack up some shots off the dribble. That's not his game. So I think there is a market for him out there.
I think so too. And that's why I had the conversation of, you know, what's the line you would do for Jay Crowder? Because I don't think you'll ever get there. I think that you'll probably have some decent offers for him along the way. Let's take one more quick break. We'll come right back. And as you mentioned, Andre Iguodala, we said the best for last. We'll talk about what we think will happen with Iggy here after the break. Welcome back to the show. Talking with Peter Edmiston from The Athletic about what Grizzlies players are most likely to be traded. And the most likely of all is Andre Iguodala, a guy that has probably never been in this city. I think I heard someone put it very well today. They traded for Andre Iguodala's contract, not Andre Iguodala. So first off, is there going to be a market for Andre Iguodala, or do you think people will try to call the Grizzlies bluff and just say, hey, we'll just wait till after the trade down, then you'll really basically have no interest and you'll just buy him out? You think there people are going to get that far, or they're actually going to have legitimate offers for Andre Iguodala?
Yeah, I think there'll be offers for sure. I mean, now as far as will there be offers that meet the Grizzlies' pretty high standard here, you know, that I think is less clear. But I definitely think there'll be offers. I mean, the guy, you know, he's Jay Crowder plus. I mean, he does all the stuff that we talked about with Jay Crowder, but better. And has done it at higher levels for longer. So I don't think there's any question that teams are going to look at him and say, you know, he can help. I mean, there's so many teams that could use his services and exactly what he brings to the table. Just again, it's just a matter of, you know, would they be willing to give up a first-round pick? You know, would they be willing to give up some kind of a good young player? You know, something along those lines. You know, that's the big question. It's been a game of chicken for the Grizzlies for a while now. Let's just find out here in the next little bit whether or not they're going to win it.
And so there are a lot of teams out there that could use Andre Iguodala, but it doesn't seem like, obviously, like you mentioned, they don't want to pay what the Grizzlies want them to pay. So are there any teams that strike you out there as, I guess, more so inclined to make those deals than others?
Well, I mean, I think, again, you have to kind of go through the scenarios of what team would view Andre Iguodala. First of all, what team has championship aspirations? Because I think I don't think you make a move in season for Iguodala unless you have championship aspirations. So that eliminates 20 some odd teams right there.
Right.
And then you have to look and say, for which teams would Iguodala represent enough of an upgrade that they would be willing to part with something of value? And again, that's probably, you know, fewer still. So, you know, I've always thought in terms of this deal that it comes down to, you know, like Clippers and Mavericks are the two that make the most sense. The Celtics potentially. But I think their wing situation and you've seen over the last little bit, they've started to really improve. And so I'm not so sure that it's a priority for them anymore. The Lakers, but I don't see the Lakers with the ability to make that deal happen unless a third team gets involved. And that, you know, I can't get in the business of predicting three team trades. That's way beyond my trade machine capabilities. So, you know, like Clippers and Mavericks just jump immediately to mind. I mean, if the Clippers see, you know, they use Mo Harkless plus some other stuff to get there, I think that's certainly very easy to envision. The Mavericks, and now with the Dwight Powell news, they have you know, more concerns about their depth and about their aspirations of going far. So you know, we'll see how that affects the trade market for them too. But it's teams like that I think would be the most obvious candidates to make a move. Houston, you know, if they could find some way to make it work, I just don't see how. Given the limitations they have on the things that they can offer, how they would be able to do it. But they're always interested in making some moves.
Speaking of all the teams that would have a chance to get Andre Iguodala, did a Andre Iguodala trade special? Two parts 8 different teams, hear from Locked On hosts and other writers from those teams as well, what they think the potentials might be. It's in the podcast feed already. So if you want more info on Andre Iguodala, go check that out. You have to scroll a little bit because it's been a week or so, but go check that out. So that's a great tease for me. Peter, I appreciate you coming on, man. Let's do it again soon.
And hope your daughter gets better soon. Always a pleasure, man. And congrats to you and the Locked On family.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, bud.
Thanks, dude.
All right, dude. Anytime, man.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, keep.